So, good morning, good morning. So I'll let you muse with me a little bit this morning. Yeah, I've told you before, and I still believe I got a crazy mind. It raises crazy questions. John said, closing chapter 20 and closing chapter 21, he said, we didn't write down everything that the Lord said and did. And then a little tongue-in-cheek, he said, have we done so? The world couldn't hold all the books. You ever stop to think, wonder what they didn't tell us? I thought one of the things that they should have told us, somebody should have recorded some of that conversation that went on between Jesus and the council in Jerusalem when he was just a boy, and he stumped them. They said they marveled at him. Remember that? Nobody wrote anything down about that. So there's no telling what in all went on that would have been interesting for us. But John said, but we did write down the things that would help you to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the God-man. He is God in the flesh, walking among us. And we've written that so you could believe it to the degree that you could receive life everlasting or eternal life. So I got to think about some of these things, and he starts out with chapter 20. I'm at chapter 21. But in chapter 20, he closes with two great illustrations that we use a lot. One of them, Jesus just, he's there with them and they don't recognize him. But Judas is, Thomas wasn't there, and so Thomas wouldn't believe that they had seen him. He said, "I know, I got to see him myself." And so John records the next meeting, and they are together, and Thomas is there, and there's that great time, you know, when he put his hand in his side and saw his hands, how they were scarred. He said to him, "Oh, my Lord and my God." Then John starts out in chapter 21 saying, now after these things, see, there again, he's not telling us what these things are. Because I have to remember that the scriptures are not written chronologically. You understand that, don't you? So after these things, I'm not sure whether it was after those two events or what, but he says Jesus is going to appear to him the third time. So there's a group of them, about eight of them, in this room having dinner, I guess. And Simon Peter says to them, I'm going to go fishing. Right down our line, isn't it, Bill? That's my kind of man. The funny thing is, though, it's nighttime, and they're going to go fishing at night. I love to hear Dr. Henneke talk about all these kinds of fish that are in there, how they fish for them and how they catch them. And I'm going to tell you what, they're not worth eating. At least the one they call Peter's fish. That's a terrible eating fish. I tried it. I didn't get very far. I had a couple of bites and I said to myself, this fish needs help. Dr. Henneke laughed at me. He ate his. They aren't very big, about the size of a good-sized crappie. Look like a crappie, but I mean, after it's cooked, I don't know what it looked like beforehand. They didn't show me. So they're gonna go fishing at night. You ever fish at night?
Yep.
I've done that, and like the apostle, didn't catch anything. I have anybody tell me how to catch them. We're up at Center Hill Lake and I had a place up there. Some of the boys came up and we fished all night long. My wife Pat came down the next morning and said, "Well, where's your fish?" I said, "Well, we hadn't caught it." "You fish all night? Didn't catch anything? You stayed here all night?" I said, "Well, I don't know when the fish is going to bite." But I think the fishermen that Simon Peter and them are doing, they're doing it with a net. Now, there's some interesting words in the scriptures that said Jesus told them to take the net out the other side of the boat. Now, I've done seine fishing. Have you ever done any seine fishing done with a seine net? We did that in the ocean. We'd take one end of it and put it down. Several people hold it, and we'd take the other one and go out as far as we could go out and bring it back around, pull it back in, and bring the fish in. Well, I think they were using a little boat. And they had the little boat and the larger boat, and they'd take the net out and go around. And Jesus is there. And when John wrote this, he said, I've done this so that you might believe. I got to think about that. What is there in this scripture that would make one believe that Jesus is indeed the God-man? You know, we read the whole story, and we got the story, and so I got to ask myself, what's going on here that John would think that this story would help us believe that Jesus is the Christ? Okay? I mean, you know the story. What is there in that story that would help you to believe? Well, my mind went back, and I said to myself, I wonder how he knew they were going to be there fishing. There's something going on here about him. My mind flashed back, and I can remember him saying to them, just remember this, where there are two or three of you gathered together in my name, Toby translation, I'll be one of them. So if there's two or three of us gathered together, here we are. Jesus, he's here in our midst. You know that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's here with us. I have a feeling they didn't see him in that room that night when they were sitting there eating. He could have been there eating with them. He did that, you know. A lot of people try to make a magician out of him. You know, they say, well, they closed the doors and he walked through the doors. I don't believe that. I believe he was in the room with them all the time. They didn't recognize him. I mean, you wouldn't go to dinner looking for a dead man, would you? I mean, he'd been crucified, put in a grave. Would you expect him to be in the room with you? But something he does helps them to realize this is Jesus. Well, that's stunning. But he was evidently in that room with them. But John doesn't say that they mentioned where they were going to go fishing. Of course, we know they're going to fish in the Galilee. And the Galilee is not really very big. Probably maybe 18 miles long, 12 miles wide, 100 feet deep. It's not a big lake. I've got good news for you. Jesus knows where you are and where you're going. And he'll be there. It's growing old is not as easy as it sounds like. Because all you got to do is stand around. But it brings a lot of challenges with it. And Jesus is going to go right along with us. He never grows old. What a wonderful thing. And so he is still that way today. We church people don't get very excited about that, but that's good news, folks. That he is with you wherever you go. Remember some of those times when Had it not been for him, you probably wouldn't be here today. I'm a Korean War veteran. You see my cap every once in a while. I spent 15 months there. 3 times they claimed me essential and wouldn't let me come home. I'm going to have to tell you something. I didn't do it on my own. It had to be the hand of God. I went through 4 major campaigns, which means 50 sustained hours of combat in each of those. I was only 19 years old. What can a 19-year-old do? Be crazy. But God has a plan for your life, and he's going to see you through it. And so he's out there on the shore. He even knew where they were going. John doesn't even tell us they knew where they were going. Fished all night and didn't catch anything. I've been there. It's not fun. It is. And so he speaks to them. He doesn't call them by name. At least John doesn't say they called him by name. He just said, he called out to them and said, have you caught anything? I said, no, we haven't caught a thing. It's always interesting to me. Jesus asks questions he already knows the answers to. He'll ask you a question now and then. And you wish you had the answer to it. And he has the answer to it. And he'll give it to you when it's time. If you've ever been in the ministry, you need that. You need for God to be able to communicate with you. And you need to be able to hear him. I have a feeling that out there on that boat, they weren't very happy with this guy. I don't know how many times they had gone by him. But here's another thing about him. He's on the shore. John doesn't say anything about any fishing equipment. But when they get in there, he's got fish on the fire. And they've been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. He's got fishing hush puppies. Well, I just said fish and bread. I said, what kind of fish would you have without hush puppies?
Brother Toby, can I give something on the Greek? Absolutely. About that, when Jesus called out to them, and he used the word paideia, which is the school, you know, in Greece. And so he called them, they were disciples, which means learners, but he called out to them, maybe you're in school today, you're going to learn how to fish.
I'm reading into this, and I'm reading into this now. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. You can just take it however you want to. But I got a feeling out there on that boat, there's some consternation going on. This is kind of, what does he know? I mean, these are experienced fishermen. He said, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Yeah. They didn't know he had fish on the fire. And he didn't have a boat. So he said to him, put your net out the other side of the boat. Now, folks, that does not help me believe that Jesus is the Christ. It helps me believe he's a good fisherman. But he knew something. Does it ever cross your mind of the thing, the simple little things that Jesus knows about you and me? Good news, bad news. He knows your every thought. Be careful how you think. He said to him, take your net out the other side of the boat. Oh, yeah, okay. So they put the boat out and start the net out around, and the guys in the little boat said, hey, we've run into a school of fish here. And then John says to Simon Peter, you know who that is on the shore? That's the master. Isn't it interesting how he reveals himself to us and we don't even know it's him? But something about the relationship between Jesus and John Now they're out here on this boat now, and he's just in there. All John can see is him and the fire. You know, it's not really all that visible. Now I don't know how far out they were. They wouldn't have to be out very far, and it gets deep in a hurry. It drops off very quickly. It is interesting that in all kinds of situations, Jesus will reveal himself to you in such a manner you will recognize as him. Yeah. So John said, Simon, that's the Lord. Now, I don't understand this fishing business over there. Simon Peter were naked. John recorded that. Isn't that interesting? Why would he tell you fishing naked? They're in a different society than we're in, folks. No.
What did you say?
No hooks and no bait.
That's why there's naked
hooks.
No hooks, he's naked. Put his coat on to go swim to shore. Isn't that crazy? We used to take our clothes off to go swimming. He put his on to go swimming. By the way, this is the same fella who was in a boat before and saw Jesus, and he said, well, if it's really you, let me come to you. And he gets out and he walks on the water. Now, we get all hung up in the fact that he sank. But we forget. Jesus told him, come on. And he starts walking on the water. This is the same guy who doesn't think anything. Why didn't he just swim back to the boat and get to the boat? He evidently a pretty good swimmer, because he's going to dive off this boat and swim in there to Jesus. Now, one of the things that helps me to understand that this chapter is helping me to understand Jesus is that how his relationship with people is ongoing. Whatever situation you're in, the relationship between you and Jesus doesn't change on Jesus' part. I've been in situations where I had to go to Jesus. It just seemed out of place, but I had to go to Jesus. And Simon Peter goes ashore, and I guess he hollers back out to him and says, it is Jesus. And they bring the boat in. The other guys out there in the little boat, they're trying to get the net around. They said, we need help. Can't get these fish in. Now, one of the things that helps me believe that Jesus was the God-man was that he could get hearts to respond to him. It's not your great singers and not your great preachers that draw people to Jesus. It's the Spirit of God working among us that brings us to Jesus. It helps you to bring other people to Jesus. It helps you to recognize this is the place where God meets his people. Come and dine, the Master calls. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time, but you got to come to the table. Now, I don't get to go to church very much right now. It's been a while since I've been able to go to Sunday school and church. And I miss that. I enjoy hearing the guys on the television and on my phone. But there's not that camaraderie that brings us together with a spirit that's unusual in God's house. You understand that? Now, if you go to church looking for how people are dressed and all these other kind of phenomenons that go in church, we're going to miss a blessing. Because I've got good news for you. When God's people gather together like we're gathered here this morning, God is in the midst of his people. It's not what Dr. Hennehy or I say, is how does the Holy Spirit move to you? And so they get into the place there, and Jesus says to them, bring some of your fish up here and put them on the fire. They marveled at how many fish they had, and John records and tells you how many there is. Somebody counted them, you know. And they were big fish. I'll leave the rest of that to Dr. Hennehy. He can tell you the difference where the big fish are and the little fish are, but he can't fish. He's not a fisherman. He's deviled around over there enough. He knows where these fish are. He needs to tell these fishermen where they are. And they bring them in, and he said, bring them in, put them on the fire. There's an interesting little statement in there. Nobody dared ask who he was because they knew who he was. Is that what it says, Brother John? You got that, Brother? Is that what it says? No one dared ask who he is. They knew. I got good news for you, folks. People know you in different ways than you can imagine. And if the beauty of Jesus shines through your life, they will know it. They're great inspectors. And nobody dared ask him, who are you? They knew. And there's something about that for you and me. We need to be in such a relationship with him that we know when his presence is there. We need to know when he's calling us to do something. He may call for you to pull the net sometime. He may call for you to bring something to him sometimes. We need to do that. And then Jesus gets into this conversation with Simon Peter. Now, you and I have the hindsight to look back and say, well, Peter's the one that denied him three times, and so he asked him three questions, and we get all hung up with the sheep and all this. For me, the significant thing behind this is that Jesus deals with you as an individual. Okay? Bill, he doesn't come to you with my problem. He doesn't come to you to solve my problem. He comes to you to solve your problem. He comes to each of us to forgive us of our sins individually. We can't rely on somebody else. He comes to us and asks us, do you really love me? Now, there's one of the keys to me believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He asks that great question to you and me. Do you really love me more than these? Now, I don't know what these are. I don't know what that is in your life, but there's something in your life that just takes prominence over everything else in your life. Something just drives you all along. Frank, you're a builder. That's a drive. You're a board chairman. That's a drive. All of us have drives that we do. And God knows how important that is to us. And he knows that in order to be one of his, he has to be predominant. You're never as good at what you do until you have him in charge. Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's why I believe, that's why these scriptures help me believe that Jesus is the Christ, that there's no salvation outside of him. It's not the church. It's not the theology. It's what you believe about him and how you let him dominate your life and rule your life and govern your life and make your decisions for you. Simon Peter asked a very simple question after they had their debate. He said, he's so much like us. He said, well, Lord, what about John? Well, now remember, Jesus had just told Simon Peter how he's going to die. Had he told me what he told Simon Peter, I wouldn't have realized he's telling me how I'm going to die. But that's what he's telling Simon Peter. And isn't it interesting how even when Jesus is involved, people can misunderstand? Did you know that? Jesus said to Simon Peter, what difference does it make to you about John? So he could live until I return again. What's that to you? You follow me. You follow me. And the rumor got started around, John records it, says, so the rumor got started around that Jesus said, I wasn't going to die until he comes back. Then he goes on to say, that ain't true. That's a rumor. You ever tried to live down a rumor? Takes a lot of God's help to help you live down a rumor. When I was the pastor at South of Miami Heights, Florida, which is about 35 miles south of Miami, a rumor got started around that Pastor Williams was out in the backwoods chasing women. Wouldn't that thrill your heart? Even the man at the grocery store who I made friendships with heard the rumor. My wife was upset. Need I tell you that? Now, how do you explain something like this to your wife? I said to her, honey, it's a rumor. Let it stay as a rumor. Don't worry about it. And so one day I went down to the little restaurant to have some coffee with my man that ran the grocery store there. He said to me, Pastor, are you not concerned about the rumor that's going around about you? I said, well, I think there's a number of rumors going around about me. Which one are you talking about? Then he goes on to tell me, I can tell you where the rumor came from. Oh, you can. Yeah. Sitting right over there in that booth were two men. One of them was Frito-Lay potato chip man. And the other was his friend from down in Homestead. And the man from Homestead was complaining about you. And the Frito-Lay potato chip man said to him, listen, I'm all over this county delivering. And I see him time and time again out there. Now, he's either serving the Lord or chasing women. That's how the rumor got started. Nobody started the rumor. He's out there serving the Lord. No, he's out there chasing women. I thanked him. Went home and prayed about it. And felt like I needed to go talk to the Frito-Lay potato chip man because he had heard the rumor too and didn't know where the rumor came from. So I went and told him where the rumor came from. He was ready to go down right then. This was like 9 o'clock at night. He's ready to go down right then, all the way to Homestead, which was about 20 miles away from us, and bring this man out. So no. Rumors are hard to live down. And I felt like the best thing I could do was just say to the Lord, Lord, you know it's a rumor. And you know how to handle it. And I don't. So he led all the way. Now, I'm here to tell you again, Jesus knows all about you and me. He knows our every need. That's not the question. The question is what Jesus asked Simon Peter. Do you really love me? So when I read through that whole thing, I ask myself again, what is there in this chapter that helps me believe that Jesus is indeed the God-man? See, we don't get a chance to see him in person. We have to take it by faith that these people are telling us the truth. And as Dr. Hennigan says, oftentimes, this is not the answer. Jesus has to come to this to make it worthwhile. Jesus has to do something inside of you and me to help us understand that this is about him. And that if you miss him, you've missed the whole thing. We need to be another person like John and say to people, he is the Christ. He is the God-man. He is the Creator walking among his creation. Good news for us this morning, folks.
Amen.
He's still here. Right here. Oh, you can't see him. You can't touch him. In spite of some people, though, I think I can feel him. I think I can sense him. I think I can know that God is right here with his children. We probably wouldn't come here if it wasn't for that. Now, if you just come to hear Dr. Hennigan, Lord bless you, that's okay. I enjoy hearing him. But it's what he has to say and what he's going to talk about and who he's going to talk about that's really important. And so I read these chapters now differently than what I used to, because when I read them, I'm looking for things in there that'll help me believe that Jesus really is who he says he is. Not who they say he is, but who he says he is. And he says, I have come from the Father. The Father sent me. And I have come here that you might believe that there is redemption, that there is salvation, that there is life everlasting, and it's through Christ Jesus, who came that you and I, 2,000 years later, can still sing, how great thou art. Yeah. And so I read these chapters differently, and I start looking for these little things, like things that Jesus does that's just out of the ordinary. I mean, you just can't explain them. I don't know how he got that fire started. I don't know how he got those fish. I don't know where he got those hush puppies from. I don't know how he knew they would be there. Does Jesus know about you and me? Oh yeah, he knows. The question is, will we recognize him? And that's what I'm learning from this scripture. He is always available to make sure that you and I know this is him. He will let you know. Dear Lord, sharpen our minds and our hearts and our spirits to be one with yours. Pray you'll be with Dr. Henneke today, helping with this procedure that he's going through. Pray you'll help each of us who are here this morning to hold on to the belief that you know our every need and that we are available for you to use us in your kingdom's work. Bless these men now as they go out into this world, that they will let their light shine, that men might see Jesus Christ in them. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day.